This is the From the Attic podcast with your host, Brian Watson. It's a podcast from an attic.
Hello and welcome to the attic. You can probably hear from the background that I'm joined in the attic by somebody. That somebody is erstwhile internet sensation, Dave Dawson. Hello, Dave.
Hello, Matt. How are you?
I'm very well.
Thanks for inviting me.
Thank you for coming to the attic. It's fabulous to have you here. It's fair to say that many in the progressive rock community will have come across you, so to speak, in recent weeks because of something the erstwhile Mr. Fish posted on his page.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. I did this appalling cover of Market Square. I mean, yeah, it was atrocious. I did this cover of Market Square Heroes. I had to call it Meerkat Square Heroes because I didn't actually want anyone discovering it on YouTube. So I do that with all. I change all the titles just in case a despondent fan goes, "What the hell's this?" So I know Fisher Ween a bit anyway. So I sent this to him, and I just to say, just to brighten your day a bit, mate. And then he went, "I absolutely think this is brilliant." So he posted it to his page, but he very, very kindly did it with a little intro to say, you know, this bloke is doing this out of love. He's not actually spiteful or anything. And it just exploded a bit after that. That's my wife in the Lucy. Come and say hello. Say hello to Brian.
Hello, Lucy.
Do you recognise that voice?
I do. It's indelibly etched on my mind, Grapes.
Yeah, I live with it, and it's fine, but I'm not a fan of any of these things, so it's all for me, it's all a bit, okay, but I don't appear on camera, I won't.
No, that's fine, I tried to get Mrs. Watson to listen to the Bon Jovi one, she says, no, I don't listen to Bon Jovi covers, because she likes
Bon
Jovi.
Yeah, but that's why she should listen to it.
I agree wholeheartedly, Dave.
That was appalling, that one. I was trying to, I'm just going to play the guitar bit, because I was trying to do the vocoder bit where he goes, apple, apple, apple. I thought, that's not funny. If I just go, that's far funnier. Tommy used to work on the docks. Union's middle strike is down. He's like, it's tough. Oh, it's tough. Oh, it's tough, etc. But yeah, we're going off piste there, aren't we?
We are a little bit. Well, I'll pull you back onto piste. I think it's fair to say, though, after Fish's involvement, you're now. I mean, I think that video's up to about 7 million views, isn't it? And you're rich beyond dreams of avarice.
Well, no, I've still got to go to Waitrose. I can't go to Harrods just yet.
It's deceiving because
on my channel it's only hit 5,500, but when you look at other shares, it doesn't take into account other Facebook shares. I know it was shared about 75 times, and then it gets, the internet does the work. So I reckon we're up to about 20,000 to 30,000 on it. Maybe more, you know.
It won't be long before we're at the snorting cocaine out of Hooker's navel stage. You do realise that?
Well, like I said, you just met the missus, so that's the dampers put on that.
But for all the YouTube people out there, head over to, it's Dave D Music, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right. I try and post once every, I mean, I absolutely adore doing it. And I'm getting a lot of requests, both from the fans themselves and from the artists themselves. And I try to post one about every sort of 5 days, but I've got 40 in the canon what I like about doing it as well is because I'm looking at new wave of British heavy metal bands and neo prog bands, I'm hoping that as well as doing like Marillion and IQ and Palace, I'm hoping that it's introducing people to bands that maybe they don't know, you know. So who knows, you know. So it's fun, mate. This I just love doing it, you know.
It's fantastic. Any plans to pull them together and do like an album maybe in the not too distant future?
I'm going to name check him, but Chris Dolibar from Madame X saw my high in high school, and he's very, very keen on me doing an album, and with a view to maybe joining Madame X on stage next year. But my only reservation is that the whole thing about the YouTube stuff is that people just like my facial expressions. I'm just wondering if it, a little bit, if it's not visual, it might be lost a bit, but, you know, we'll see.
I still think there'd be a big market for it. My favourite of all the, I mean, there must be about 30 or 40 up on your channel at the moment, but my favourite, not by far, I would say, but is the Blue Oyster Cult Dominance and Submission one. Old school BOC fan, that warmed the cockles of my heart.
No, I adore them. I absolutely adore them. The key is, I started doing these, as I said, because I can't play them properly. I thought, if I absolutely annihilate them, you know, and what I try and do, Brian, is I'll get to the point where I think, if I rehearse this five more times, I'm going to nail it. So I better do it now before I get to that stage. So it is completely unrehearsed, and all of it is like stream of consciousness garbage. I don't sort of, you know, have anything scripted. It's just a load of rubbish. But I do like to think that maybe people would look at the songs and thought, I've never seen that song like done that before. I'll go and listen to the original again. And also, because it's so obviously appalling, there's not, everyone's so really, really nice about it because they know there's no harm done, you know.
It's wonderful. I think your most recent one was Red Barchetta, wasn't it? And I know you and I had a full and frank discussion of whether Barchetta sounded more like bread or pasta, but
Bread or pasta. I was quite friendly with Rupert Hine towards the end of his life because he supported me in a book I was involved in, and he told me that Rush, if I could somehow get this to Rush, which isn't impossible, he said that Geddy is a complete Anglophile. He said when they were recording Presto and Roll the Bones, everything they were doing was quoting Monty Python and the goodies, you know. So I think he'd get it. I think he'd understand it. A lot of the American bands are like that. They just love the British sense of humour, you know. Stars, when I did the Stars one, they just went bonkers over it because they just, and Angel loved theirs as well. Madame X loved theirs and Vixen loved theirs as well. Because they could just see like this English eccentricity, you know. So yeah,
it's lovely. We've got so much to talk about. We've got your background and how you got to where you are now, and there's all your books and your writing, which we'll get to. But do you think we should play something for a minute or two, just to?
I'll tell you what I'll do. I was talking to a friend of mine called Ben Stratford, Ben William Stratford. He used to come and see me. Seeing when I was working in the clubs, and he put the idea in my head that, well, in fact, I'll just play it, okay, because I can't listen to this song any other way now. It's by a band called Yes.
Never
I haven't
ever.
Rehearsed this. I promise you I haven't rehearsed it, but it goes like this, and I'll do the 7-inch version. So we've got you know this is going, so I won't bore you with the rest. So basically we've got I'm just a love machine, and I don't work for nobody but you. Oh yes, I'm just a love machine, and I don't. I can't hear that any other way now. And he's got also oh, that's wrong. Oh. Owner of a lonely heart. Owner of a lonely heart. Which is a bit rubbish because that's implying that most people have got two hearts. If your heart's lonely, you know, I know Phil Connors got two hearts, didn't he? Just one mind. But I just think, yeah, so that's another one ruined for you. But also Ben looked at my channel. He said, I woke up this morning and I dreamt that somebody had done an appalling cover of Judas Priest turning into Rock Lobster. I said, that wasn't a dream, mate, that was me. So we'll have a go at that. So you got There I was, completely wasted in how to work him down. All decided sign for straighteners, I stripped him down to town. There's another one you might hear the same way again. Yeah, I could do that for hours. Also, listen to Genesis, one of their latest songs. It goes like this. struck me that in the chorus of that song, I don't really want to ever be stuck behind Phil Collins on a roundabout, because he's so follow you, follow me. We'd be there for bloody ages, wouldn't we? So we've got that. We've got mate, just give me a song. I'll demolish you. As I said, these aren't rehearsed, as you've probably worked out by now. It's just stream of consciousness rubbish.
It's got to be Blue Oyster. It's got to be Blue Oyster Cult, then, Dave.
Oh, okay. So oh, that's wrong. Oh, what's that? What's that last chord? Hey, we got the right chord. Yes, indeed. So here we go. I spent 10 years off of me life. I spent 10 years off of me life. Oh, that's wrong. Oh, I should rehearse this. Oh, that's it. I spent 10 years off of me life. Just getting ready. I mean, spending 10 years off of your life getting ready. I mean, my wife takes a long time to get ready. You know, I think 10 years is pushed. That must have been some event they were going to. And also,
it was the 70s, though, wasn't it?
That's right. I mean, if you spent half your life getting ready, geez, I've been out with women like that. It drives you mad, mate.
Absolutely. So how did you get to here then, Dave? What's your career trajectory? So
what I did, mate, I was in a band in the 90s. That didn't do anything. And then I became a circuit singer. So I did, I was on the circuit doing working men's clubs, functions, weddings, blah, 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 you know. And then I did that for 25 years. And then I got into doing care homes. And the reason I started doing care homes because it was very simply, it gave me the evening tips to myself. So I moved from London, I've moved to Salisbury, and I've been sort of pretty successful on the care home circuit for a few years. But obviously then when lockdown hit, mate, that was my business gone. It went in a week. So,
oh, gosh.
Yeah, seriously. And my wife worked for a music venue. She was sadly made redundant. So we've been absolutely completely hit by COVID. So I've got this other, I write books, which you can talk about in a minute, but I just started doing serious covers, you know, putting them on YouTube. And then I rediscovered this band called Stars, who I absolutely adore. And I tried to do one of their songs, but I couldn't sing it as fast as the riff was going. So I just slowed it down, and then it changed. And then I just thought, and then this stupid Cockney voice came out. You know, when you're sound checking stuff, you know, and this stupid Cockney voice came out, or this exaggeration of my own voice. And I played it back and I thought, that is so ridiculously stupid that I'm actually going to share that on my Facebook page. Somebody, a friend of mine called Darius, another friend of mine called Johnny Haywood, who works at Uberock, sent it straight to two members of Stars, and they absolutely flipped. And then I did a couple more. They got to the band members, and then that's where we are now. I mean, it's the whole thing is it's appallingly atrocious. It's as you've just seen there. I make it up as I go along. I get a vague idea of how the song's going to go. If it gets too good, I stop and say, right, leave that for a day and come back to it.
Yeah.
I'm just forming this audience through basically Facebook, and it's just been shared to the band's pages. So that's, I mean, where it's going, I just don't know. I know is that people just love it, you know.
It's wonderful, and we've all been through some things this past 12 months or so, and it's nice to put something on the internet that makes you not just giggle, but I mean, sometimes we laugh so much that a bit of wee comes out.
Yeah, no, that's like I said, that's everyone says it's so nice. Everyone's doom and gloom. So just see something as surreal as this, and to bring back songs that maybe you haven't heard for 20 or 30 years, and just say, you know, because I did a Tigers of Pantang one, and John Deverell just said, "What the, you know." Like, this is mad. Like, but I'm really into this concept of as soon as an artist releases a song, the second it leaves that recording studio, you've got no control as to how it's interpreted, you know? And that's kind of what I'm doing. I'm saying, look, we can, it's out there now, so we can just twist it about. No one's upset even, you know, everyone just sees it for what it is, just a bit of fun, you know.
It's lovely. You mentioned something about a book, Dave. I think, in fact, I remember seeing something on the social medias the other day. Is it through Burning Shed, did you say?
Yeah, it's through Burning Shed. I'm my good friend Chris Topham at Plain Groovy. It's on Plain Groovy. Well, the thing with the books, it's very, very similar to what I'm doing at the moment, although, I didn't really see the comparison until last night when I spoke to my wife. But basically, what I do with the books, it's a little family thing whereby me and members of my family, we've written ridiculous letters to rock, pop and prog stars. We've been doing this since 2008. So the premise is we completely get the wrong end of the stick about their work, okay? We write to them. Because like I said before, once the record's out there, you can't control how it's interpreted. So we'd write to Nick Kershaw and say, actually, I don't want to be in your shoes because you're a lot shorter than me. So you obviously take a size 7. I'm a size 9. It's going to pinch me feet. And then they come back with a response, which we've published them. We've got two books out. We've got a third one coming out at the moment, which is going to be... just punk artists, and they're all in on the joke, okay? So they just write a silly reply back, kind of in character, and this is, we're doing our third bit now, but the first one's called Dear Mr. Kershaw After Nick, and prog-wise, we've got Fish in there with an incredible reply. We've got Rick Wakeman in there as well. We've got a lot of 80s stars. The second book we did, so that one's with Burning Shed and Plain Groovy. Second one was called Dear Mr. Popstar. I did that with a company called Unbound. And this one's called The Lockdown Letters, Grammar Free in the UK.
Wonderful.
So, and what we're doing, mate, everything I've ever done has never been conventional or through a major. You know, I like to keep it, it's like, I'm very much like bands like Cardiacs, and I love Fish, and I love artists that keep it nice and cottagey. Don't let it get too big. And it's all grassroots and driven by social media.
That's marvellous. You'll have to send me the links, and I'll embed them in the pod.
Yeah.
Doings.
Yeah. But now I feel like I'm doing an advert for the book. It's not really about that, you know. It's just about these stupid covers, which I'm just obsessed with doing right now, you know.
No, I started. So
I don't want people thinking, "Oh, Dave's gone on the radio and he's kind of gone on about the covers, but he's really pushing his books." You know,
I started you off on the book, so you have no.
No, to be fair, you did. I do really keep it quiet, and when I approach artists with this covers thing, I never tell them that I've got a tiny bit of a rep anyway. I wanted to keep it purely about what we're doing, you know.
Absolutely. So how do you choose which songs make it onto the channel then, or is it just stream of consciousness?
Well, sometimes, you see, it's not all metal, Brian. Sometimes I'll sit down and listen to a record and think, well, that beat to that record is absolutely dying to be cockneyfied and slaughtered. Like, I've just done Bohemian Like You by the Dandy Warhols. I'll just play you a little bit because it's just so asking to be cockneyfied. I did this yesterday. I've not posted it yet, but basically I just ripped the mickey out of it because basically I'm saying, if you listen, I mean, do you know the song, Brian?
I don't know. I'm going to mute my microphone so I don't laugh over it.
It basically says, you got a great car, what's wrong with it today? I'll come and have a look, I've got one too. It's all that sort of stuff because I like you and I like you and I feel bad being like you. So what I'm basically saying in that one is, he's saying, I've got a great car, what's wrong with it today? I'll come and have a look because I've got one too. It doesn't make you a mechanic. I'm saying, I've got a washing machine, but you know, if it breaks, I call someone out. It's rubbish. Yeah. So with that, I just heard it on the radio. I thought, wow. But with others, I've got to the stage now where I'm talking to the bands first. I'm saying, look, would you mind if I actually just destroyed one of your numbers? And they come back like, Robin George looks at my channel and flipped. So that's the thing with some of these artists. You think, are they going to be spiky? Are they going to be all right? You know, Robin George come back and he said, can you do me Heartline? I just did this ridiculous version of Heartline. So, which he shared to about 40 different pages. So to answer the question, it's songs, it's either stuff where I go back and think, I'll go back and look at my Metal for Mothers CD or my Axe Attack CDs, you know, and think, well, that would just be absolutely dying to be killed. Or sometimes the artist will say, well, have a crack at that one or have a crack at that one, you know. There's no logic to it. I don't want there to be any logic to it, because the second something becomes contrived or a little bit cultured, you know what I'm saying?
I do.
It's driven by itself. So I don't know what I'm doing today. Something will come. I'll either get a message from a fan, or I'll get a message, or I'll just think of something, you know. There's no structure to it. I might go 2 or 3 days without doing one. I don't do it for the sake of it. It's really got to fit, you know. I did a Titan one, and Kev went mental for that, and so did his Mrs. Julie. So they said, oh, can you do us another one? And can it be this song? And I listened to it. I went, oh, God, it's just asking for it, you know. So it's driven by nothing. It's just driven by what happens during the day for me, you know.
It's got that honesty, hasn't it? It's got that natural.
Yeah, I said to the missus, and it's the same with the books. I don't really like any project. Well, I shouldn't call it a project. It's not. It's rubbish. But I don't like anything where you can look at it and see a point at which it jumped the shark. I don't like anything where it changes a bit and you go, that's not what I really fell in love with in the first place, you know. So
I had this conversation the other day with somebody. It's exactly the same.
What about?
Just the jump in the shark. Where you go from honest and normal and honest and normal, and then you hit this pretentiousness.
Yeah, or maybe manager gets involved, or somebody gets hold of it. Yeah.
It's like the Radio 6 music thought of these people curate shows. No, they don't. They just pick some records to play.
You're absolutely right. And I won't name them, but I've got projects that I looked at on Twitter and Facebook, you know, back in the day, and thought, my God, that's amazing. And then one day you go in and it's changed, it's a bit glossier, and then it's, oh, contact management, oh, I can't talk to the bloke anymore then. And then you think, I'm out, done, thank you, done, you know.
Yeah, I mean, we were talking before the recording about how hopefully on the pod and not the American Prog Show. And the American Prog Show, big brother of NTAPs, we do try and prick the balloon of pomposity that can be prevalent sometimes in especially the progressive rock community.
Yeah, especially, yeah. This is why I was so reluctant to do 12th Night and IQ and Palace covers and Marillion, because I thought, oh, God, there's a chance here I'm going to get demolished. But it's just not happened.
Well,
I'm really surprised it's not. But then it's presented in such a way, because when Fish put his up, he presented it in such a way to say, listen, this is really funny, and the bloke's taking the mickey out of himself more than anything, you know.
It's done with love, isn't it?
It's totally done with love. I mean, I did Market Square Heroes, and suddenly I'm like 15 again, you know. And like when I did the Palace song, I did Arrive Half Alive. And I sent it, Ewan got hold of it. And I thought, God, this bloke, you go back and you think, if I was 14 talking to Ewan Lowson, I'd be like, in what, you know? It's just crazy. So it's all love. And it's just songs that I did through the corridors for IQ. And I think, geez, I'm back to being 15 again, sitting at the Marquee, you know? It's pure. It's just done out of love. But I'm also discovering new songs, because bands are saying, can you do one of ours? And I go, like we said before, how did I miss that band at the time, you know? So much good music out there from the 80s, you know?
Absolutely. I mean, I must admit, when I first heard the Market Square Heroes thing, I did think it were Dead Bob, because he speaks very much like your character.
Really?
Oh, yes. No. I had...
I tell you what happened there. I just recorded a really complicated song, and my wife likes to speak to her mum sort of on Skype because she lives in Kent and we're down in Salisbury. So I finished this really complicated cover and I thought, well, Lucy's still talking to her mum, so what should I do now? And I thought, I wonder if I can pull off a Marillion song that's not too difficult. And then I looked at the chords, I thought, this is really, really easy, you know, I could probably get away with it. And that, what, honest to God, that was the first take. And then Lucy came in, and then it's the interjecting bit that makes it for me when we do the I'm Your Antifreeze bit. And it's like Fish said, and like the fans said, you can't rehearse that stuff.
No, you can't.
You know,
yeah.
You can't. It's completely. I mean, I did a Vardis one the other day, and I was, because Lucy was out shopping, and she came in on a crucial point of this song, and it just dovetailed completely with what I was doing at that second, you know. She's always hovering around, but I'll only call her in if, like, or she comes in by mistake. It's as I said before, the second it becomes contrived or you think, oh, that's convenient, she's there, then, you know, it falls to pieces, you know.
I did have the pleasure of speaking to her off camera before we started.
Yeah, you're never going to see her. She's a bit, she's like Columbo's wife, Erin Dawes from Minder. Who else are you?
I'm Mrs. Mannering.
Mrs. Mannering. You see, we didn't rehearse that. Who else are you?
I don't know.
Who else do you never see on camera?
Charlie from Charlie's Angels.
No, we're talking about wives here, Brian. I can't let you have that. There's another one, isn't there?
Is there?
Yeah, there's another one you never see. Columbo's wife, Erin Dawes.
Yeah.
Mannering. I'll mail you later. You can put it in, Brian, because we're definitely missing one. Rumpole of the Bailey.
There's that. From Big Bang Theory, there's that fella's mother you never see, isn't there?
I'm not that bad.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Mrs. whatever her name. No, I'm not that bad.
You never see her.
No, you're never going to see the missus on camera. That's part of the fun. Build your own image.
That's when it's time to give up, isn't it? When you're releasing 12-inch singles.
I'll tell you this now, Brian. This will be a deal breaker. If you ever see my wife on camera, that's when this thing jumps the shark, all right?
On the album cover, yeah. Like black and white, like a Truffaut film.
Or like when Scott Walker used to do his grainy pictures where no one knew what he looked like in the 80s and 90s, sketch drawing thing.
You could do that picture of her on a tennis court, walking away from the camera, scratching her ass.
Nobody needs to see that.
She heard that.
I'll
finish with you now.
It was an iconic poster, though. I did have it on my wall when I was a young boy.
Yeah. As an older woman, I don't think you want that poster now.
Yeah.
Let us be the judge of that. Let the consumer.
And she disappears into the afternoon. Bye. There we go. She's gone. I've completely forgotten what we were talking about.
We were talking about everything and nothing.
Yeah, good. That's the way.
We're talking about Dead Bob. Dead Bob is a confused older gentleman. Not saying that you're either confused or elderly.
I've been called worse. Yeah.
He's very much in the camp of his favourite lineup of Genesis was Brian May on guitar, Akabil Con, marimbas, Neville Chamberlain on drums, that kind of thing.
I'd probably pay more to see that than what's coming out next year.
Well,
Can I say that out loud?
No, I've said it many times. I have tickets for September, but I was speaking to Mrs. W the other day, and if Phil makes it to September, then I'm not quite sure, just because she's going, I'm taking her, so I'm not quite sure just what she'll make of it.
Well, I'm really into this thing called Sea. Do you know the Sea of Tranquility channel?
I used to review for them back in the day.
You didn't, really?
I did. I used to do CD reviews.
Martin Popoff really likes my stuff. He loves the American stuff that I do. But what I was going to say was, what they said on C, which was really good, was that to a lot of kids, that there's only one Genesis, and that's the Bill Connors Genesis. So,
absolutely.
You know, it is an odd one. I can see why. I'd love to see the set list. You're going to get a few crumbs, you know, chucked to us Gabriel freaks, but, you know, I wonder if it's going to be anything other than Firth and Fifth and Stipperman and, you know, in the cage.
Cage.
Carpet
Crawlers, In the Cage.
Yeah. A little bit of Firth, you know.
Yeah, I think you should definitely cover Supper's Ready though, Dave.
Well, as you know, the song's 18 minutes. I think I'll be stretching it to 3 weeks.
Exactly. Or Grendel.
Grendel, that's actually doable. But I've got, I remember the lyrics, so it's...
This could be a world exclusive from the Attic listeners.
Hold on. Oh!
That's it.
Midnight Sun, what is it? Midnight Sun bids Mars farewell, retreats in shine. Sounds more like a Russell Grant horoscope, doesn't it? It does, doesn't it?
Yeah, and so, yeah. So there was a time when I knew the words backwards.
Yeah, let's have a look at the horoscope today.
In blood,
Supper's
ready, isn't it?
Yeah.
Let the blood flow. Let the blood flow.
Let the blood flow.
Let the blood flow.
Apocalypse in Nine. Oh, absolutely, yeah. Yeah, yeah. But you see, with Marillion, a lot of us got into Marillion through Kerrang and through metal, you know. They were like a sort of an offshoot band to that sort of stuff. But if it wasn't for Marillion, I wouldn't be into prog. It's, you know, when I listened to Supper's Ready and heard that Apocalypse in Nine, I think, geez, that's Grendel. And then you think, well, thanks for putting me onto this stuff. You know, otherwise... I never would have got into, like, you know, yeah. Clouds and ELP and...
Sounds was the thing for me, but they were big advocates of Marillion.
Well, Kerrang was an offshoot of Sounds, wasn't it? That was Jeff Barton being given a bit of a free rein, wasn't it?
Yeah, I used to get Kerrang well into the noughties.
Wow. No, there's a lot to be said for it.
I used to love the video channel and got into sort of bands like Mars Volta and...
I love Mars Volta.
At the drive-in as well.
Brilliant. It's brilliant. As I said to you before, the most important band in my life is Cardiacs, and I like any band that can just subvert the form like that, you know. When I listen to the Mars Volta, I heard a lot of Cardiacs in Mars Volta, actually, you know, because they're such an influential band. But I love that stuff. And Tool as well. Yeah, a lot of bands that you think, like I said before, a lot of bands you think, well, they're quite prog. Like XTC are quite prog if you listen to it. Bloister Cult are quite prog, you know.
Absolutely, and there's no stuff off limits for my shows anyway. There's nothing I won't play. So lots of the Damned we've played on NTAPs.
Yeah, why not? I mean, I remember reading an interview with Fish in the 80s, and that's when you were either a metalhead or a ska fan or a neuromantic, you know. And he just came back, he said, this is all uniforms. There's only two types of music, it's good and bad. Just listen to what you like. If it's good, listen to it, you know.
Yeah, we've had the Jam and the Stranglers and the Clash, all great music, as you say, Dave.
It's only two types of music, right? It's good and bad. That's, you know, it's good country, there's bad country, there's great prog, there's bad prog, you know. It's just the way it is.
Absolutely. I mean, there's no constraints on us that we have to play stuff that's 15 minutes long. We'll play little 3-minute pop songs by some obscure American art rock.
Yeah, you see, some bands can fit more ideas into 2.5 minutes than a lot of established bands can do, you know?
Absolutely. I mean, there's an American band called Bubble Math who are just...
I love Bubble Math. I love Bubble Math.
Insane.
That first single they put on Bandcamp back in about 2008 is absolutely insane.
Well, that's from Such Fine Particles, isn't it? The album. It's
all I knew was this one. I've got a friend called Marina Organ who runs this really good radio show. She's like a Cardiacs champion. She got me into Bubble Math about 12 years ago. Didn't know what I was listening to. It's crazy.
It is, and Spiraling as well. R.I.P.
And you think
Spiraling.
You think it's so fast, you think, how the hell could you remember how to play that, you know?
Absolutely. I mean, it's my enjoyment of Cardiacs that has got me into bands like Major Parkinson, for example.
Yeah, they will do. I mean, I think, I mean, Karnak are the most important band of my life, and they have been since 84 when I saw them with Marillion. And I went to see him two nights running, and on the first night I turned to my cousin and said, this is either the best or the worst band I've ever seen in my life, you know. Okay. And then I went the following night. But now that Tim's gone, I think the legacy is starting to show through now. People are starting to realize just how important that band was, you know, that they influenced so many bands, you know, and that they're really getting a resurgence. People are saying, how did we miss this, you know? But in my opinion, I don't mind saying it, what happened with Cardiacs is the press killed them. In the 90s, the press killed them, NME killed them, you know, because they were so unconventional and because they were going down their own road and they weren't backing with any conventions or backing with, or going with any trends. I really think it was, I mean, I've seen reviews of Cardiacs gigs where I was at, and you're looking at the review going, were you at the same gig? You know, the people were going absolutely insane, you know? I really think it was the press that killed our band, unfortunately.
It's sad, but they're one of the, what I call on the show, one of these add to cart bands. You know, when you first hear them, be it at a festival or doing a support gig or on the radio or on the internet, and you have to go and buy every single thing they ever committed to shellac.
Yeah, but as I said, I do like artists where you look at them like Cardiacs, and like a friend of mine called, I've got a friend called Alan Clayson. I've just done a cover of one of his songs. He was the man called Clayson and the Argonauts. And I saw him solo supporting It's a Beautiful Day in about 2010. And I turned to my friend and said, I think this is awful, but it might be the best thing I've ever heard, you know. It's the same with Zappa, but I like seeing bands and you're going, God, what was that? And then you look at it and then you get into them properly, then you realize the reason why you didn't get it is because it's so alien to anything you've ever heard before. It's actually genius, you know.
There's so much stuff like that out there, Dave. There's a almost an infinite well of music to discover, both that's been made now and that's been recorded over the last 50, 60 years.
I know. I said to you before we started this, there's a band, I've just discovered this band called Comedy of Errors. And I think, how the hell did I not get into this band at the time? There's so much out there. And obviously, you get very precious. You grow up and you think, well, my favourite prog bands are Palace, IQ, 12 Night, Marillion, you know. And then anything that you didn't discover by mistake, you know, it's out of your favourites, and you don't want to listen to it. And then you listen to it now, you go, geez, that's as good as anything I was listening to. I'd have loved that when I was 15 or 20, you know.
No, I mean, Joe's a friend of the show and he's been in the attic. He's a lovely chap, but
I speak to him a lot on Facebook. I've just discovered Hayes as well. I miss them. I think they're great.
Sheffield band, yeah.
I know. I've got a friend called Adrian Burley who's been banging on about Hayes for donkey's years, and I finally got to hear them because I'm doing a cover of one of their songs. I thought, how the hell did I miss this band? They're absolutely brilliant. Solstice as well. I missed Solstice at the time for some reason.
You need to
and
get
yet
to
now
one
you're
the,
going, geez.
Get to one of the festivals, Dave. You'll meet lots of like-minded creatures like Dan Fest in Leicester. I mean, where are you shaking to us from? Of course you would.
No, I'm joking.
You'd be welcomed into our bosom and you would be allowed to nestle in our prog bosom.
It's a beautiful image. Beautiful image.
Suckle on our prog teats.
See, that's something I'll be thinking about for the rest of the day now.
It's a thought that's going to fester.
Beautiful. Yeah. So, that's it really, mate. I can't think of anything else to say. I don't want to bore you to tears, really.
My work here is done. You and I could speak for a long time. Is there a particular track? I know we've veered heavily towards the Cardiacs end of the spectrum. Is there something that you'd like me to close out the pod with from Cardiacs?
Lucy, Barry wants to know what if we pick a Cardiacs tune to finish with. You've got to be careful getting people into Cardiacs, because if you pick the wrong song, people go, let's just stop it. I'm never going to listen again.
We've played them many, many times, so I think...
All right, what do you think? If you were an alien from another planet, I'm not saying you are, I'm not going to say they're indoors, but if you were to try and get somebody into this band...
To to try and get somebody into this band.
Yeah.
That's impossible.
Yeah, all right.
But I would quite like...
Mind you, it's an alias, so they'll probably enjoy it.
Eating in bed?
That is a job done. Eating in bed. Yeah, that's the one. I'd have said Buds and Spawn maybe, but Eating in Bed, that's the one. And it's shorter than Buds and Spawn as well.
I have that in my iTunes library. I also bought all the CDs as well, so I bought everything on iTunes. And then every CD release from the Alphabet business concern back in the day.
Well, with Cardiacs, Brian, you see these polls on Facebook. What's your top five albums of all time? Blah blah blah. Whenever I say, I mean, for me, it's like Forever Changes, Thick as a Brick, and Scott Free by Scott Walker, and Alan Clayson's album. But with Cardiacs, you just got to say all of it. You know.
Yeah. On the Progzilla website, all the presenters have a little bio and with listing their favourite records, and Sing to God is in my list.
My name's on the back of that.
Lucy's name's on the back of that.
Hey, it's not what you know, it's who you know.
I think Lucy wrote a bit of a lyric for Cardiacs. Lucy used to be the shop girl. She was John Paul's girlfriend.
Yeah, so I helped him write some of the lyrics for Sing to God.
She helped write a couple of lyrics for, was it Horse's Tail?
Horse's Tail, yeah.
Don't stay there, we're going to see you.
No, I'm not going to get any close.
I just caught a glimpse of her earlobe.
Oh, no. You couldn't have done, you lying. She's got a hood on, don't lie.
You can't see my ears, I made sure of it.
She looks like the dwarf in Don't Look Back.
That's
what it's going to be, Brian. We're going to have Eating in Bed by Cardiacs to finish, all right?
Right then. Thank you, Dave Dawson.
Pleasure, mate.
Go to
pleasure.
Dave D Music. Go to Dave D Music on YouTube. We'll post links to Dave's books, which you can buy in physical form from Burning Shed for your reading pleasure. Any thoughts on doing an Audible version?
It's been muted, actually. Yeah, yes, it's a good idea. We're doing this new one. We're doing a punk one, and I'm really, really proud of that, because what we've done there is, when lockdown kicked in, I like I said, I had nothing to do. I was quite depressed, like everybody else was, and I thought, right, I'll write to some punk bands, and I'll just, you know, with just the sole intent of maybe getting people aware of the first books, and also to give people some fun, like I'm doing with these covers. And I did the Subhumans, and then I did a few, and they're all in on the joke, Brian. So I had these replies come back, which were unbelievable. And it was going to be free on Facebook. So all the letters are free on Facebook now. But one thing I didn't realise was a lot of the punks, and especially the anarcho-punks, they don't do Facebook, because they're not happy with the ethics, etc. So a lot of punks aren't on Facebook, and also a lot of them are also anti-Amazon. So what I said in the end was, I gathered all these letters up, and they were absolutely brilliant. So I thought, stuff it, I'm going to publish. But because I had to go back to the artist and say, this wasn't a trick, okay? I've actually got gold here now, because I've got you guys, I've got the Cockney Reject Sham 69 UK subs. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to donate a very large proportion of each sale to a punk-related charity. And the more I sell, the more I'm going to give away, because I don't think it's ethical to actually, you know, make any money out of this when everyone's done it for love. So
Marvelous.
It's very much like the covers in this. Most of what I do is an accident, you know. I don't go out and think, right, I'm going to do Cockney covers today. When I did the Stars cover, it's because I couldn't do it any other way. And then I started being silly and thought, God, I'm going to record that. So I'm really into things that just are good ideas, or stupid ideas that grow without the media, you know. That's what I'm into. I like cottage industry stuff.
Well, it's like Dave, Dead Bob Productions, who create Not the American Prog Show and this very podcast. And when Dead Bob's found, when he does return to Sanford Hospital for his court-mandated treatment, his one-man show, Zulu! Exclamation mark, the musical, is greenlit. So watch this space.
Is it set in Rorke's Drift?
He's playing all the parts, Dave, so there are some tricky legal issues to overcome.
Yeah. Where are you looking to film it? Because obviously there's a bit, it's quite a back, quite a big landscape there. You're not going to get the image of the Zulus coming over the crest of a...
We're hoping to get the Sutton Coldfield Plaza to debut the first night, but anywhere off Broadway or...
Well, hold on a minute. You know where they filmed, where they did the photo shoot for Ace of Spades, for the photo shoot for the album? That was a quarry in Barnet, wasn't it? That still might be up for grabs.
Morecambe Bay, we were thinking. Pick some cockles whilst we're there.
Yeah. I think you might have something here, Brian.
As I say, we're completely the opposite at Dead Bob Productions. We're completely the opposite to you, Dave, because we dream of global mega markets and gold toilets.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. We're some way off.
We have a chap called Gordon Midgley who helps us out doing charity singles. A large part of the money from which I must admit does get embezzled.
Yeah, maybe you could tie that in with the Zulu film. You could do They Know It's Rock's Drift.
You're only supposed to blow the bloody doors off.
No, yeah, that's a different film. But yeah, okay. Well, I wish you luck. I can't unsee it now.
I mean, he's been in them all. Dead Bob Hodgkinson's Italian Job. You may not remember that. He was in Buster as well.
What, Buster with Phil Collins?
No, it was the Buster Keaton biopic with Mike Rutherford.
Mike Rutherford. Yeah.
So you see, you've found a spiritual home on Progzilla Radio.
Yeah, trying to think what I think. Obviously, Tony Banks has got to be the bank manager, isn't he? I can just see him behind his till rather than behind the keyboard. I can see it. This is
we're back to mannering now, aren't we?
It all comes around again. It's in the words of the Thermal Convention. Yeah.
Anybody would think we've just spoken bobbins for 45 minutes, but it's incredibly tightly scripted. I want people to know we've both had a very tight shooting script. And
every pause, every hesitation, it's all... Yeah, it's all been scripted. I've been working for 3 years on this.
Right, but yes, it's been a labour of love, Dave. So thank you once again.
That's a pleasure, mate.
I hope you and your good lady stay safe, and we get to chat.
Yeah, you and yours, and to all your listeners as well, Brian. Okay.
We get to chat again soon, so we shall end this edition of From the Attic with Cardiacs. Don't call them the Cardiacs, they'll throw the shoes at
you. Don't call them the Cardiacs.
Don't call him.
How dare you, sir?
It's like with Stephen Wilson. Don't call him Steve, he'll throw a flip flop at you.
Fair enough.
And eating in bed. Hope to speak to you all again soon. Ta-ta, love you.
Ta-ta. Bye.
And we're off.
Get off! Firstly, there's a spanner in here. Secondly, it has the right of way. And something else is missing, sometimes sorted out and wrapped up straight away. Nothing by comparison puts thoughts straight in my mind. As I comfort myself with the will to be unkind. That is the way of every day. To hell with Uncle I. Poses just like this. And when I get to thinking, it seems better to betray me with a kiss.
In every cry, I own every man, the mind for judgment.
It's star prize time, it's 101 or more, and it's Brian Throy. And that's a one. Oh dear, it's out the board. It's a one, it can't be done, unfortunately, but that's the gamble.
You have failed me for the last time.
Please, I can keep failing you.